Not very often I can stand out here and not sit at the panel. I feel a little naked.
Special that's planned for the ladies in the church. Guys, how many of you guys would go fishing if we took a fishing trip somewhere? Just what I thought. Nobody. Okay. Barb, where are you?
Right
here. Oh, there you are. Here, let me give you the mic.
Our English tea, if any of you are English, then we're having an English tea on July 12th, Wednesday, at noon, and we have a fun time planned, even a program that day. It's very hard to arrange our ladies' luncheons at a restaurant this time of year because there's so many visitors here, so we decided that we would have something special. So bring your hat. Have a hat, or grandma's hat, or somebody else's hat, or if you have a teacup and saucer, bring that. If you don't, we'll have plenty extras. And come and join us, and it'll be a free will offering because to just defray the cost of the food that we're going to have. So that is on the 22nd. Also, we need somebody to help us with our friend Dale Garrell's boat because we have a very important parade that we promote our Bible school that comes the end of July. And we throw out fish, little fish packets, and it invites people to come to the Bible study or Bible school. And so we just need somebody that would be willing to pull Dale's boat because Pastor Tim, he's usually in it throwing out fish packets. And it really brought a lot of people for our Bible school.
Mark, I thought you were talking about the women's team.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Jump now to the...
I know. And I promised him I'd be quick. And he likes things quick. So here you go. That's all. I just need... Bye, everybody.
You can read the other announcements that are in the bulletin. Some that's not in the book is that Dave and Sarah Reef, their daughter, the youngest daughter, Allison, got married yesterday in Spearfish, South Dakota. So that's why they're not here today, but when you see them, congratulate them on having all of their kids, all of their daughters are now married. And Ingrid, the oldest one, has two grandkids for them. Noah is the boy, and he looks just like his grandma. And then there's, I think it's Molly. There's a little girl that she's probably not even one yet, but who knows. Anyway, that's just something I want to throw out there today. You also see that Bob Griffiths fell down out in Idaho and broke his hip. And he had surgery, but everything is fine. He'll be taking some therapy out there. He'll be back with us soon. If you have any questions about that, you can see Patty Griffiths here. And if you'd want to just send a little card, say that you're thinking about him, get well, get better, get your strength back. The address is in the bulletin there as well. Do want to just keep in mind that on the back side of this flyer, it gives you a little bit of an idea of who the LCMC is. And that's we're one of the churches out of 1,000. LCMC means Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ. And a little bit more principles that set us apart from other denominations. And I just want you to know that they're having their big convention in October of this year, so this is really early, but if there's anyone here that's interested in watching it, if we can zoom it in or watch it on the internet here at the church in October, I just want to know who would be interested in doing that. It's a long ways and it would be very expensive to send delegates way down to Missouri. Not that the church is willing to do that, but I just want to save the church some money. And not do that. If you do it here, it won't be like being there, that's for sure. But if you're interested, we just need to know how many would be interested into watching that or coming to the church to see it. And I don't want to be the only one. It's more fun with others than it is just one person. So keep that in mind. And then also, we're just grateful for a lot of different people. Al and Angie Lickhart, you have no idea what they do in the outside of the church. You know, the reason there's no grass or weeds growing in the church parking lot is because Al sprays them with Roundup. And they go around and take care of the weeds around the outside of the church. Angie comes over and fertilizes them and takes care of making them much more prettier than what they would be otherwise. So I'm just grateful for people that do things that a lot of you have no idea who does things. There's a lot of people here that do a lot of different things. These are just some that came to my mind as we now just think about this Sunday. Jeff Kyle mowing the churchyard, Amy Johnson for cleaning the church every week. Do you realize the church needs to be cleaned? Well, Amy Johnson does that in her family. So Mandy Roger was here to share about her missionary experience in Romania and the new calling that God has placed on her. The support, the restocking the blessing box, I mean, that's John Arthur and Dave Reef, and now it's Ken Hansen that's helping with that as well. Being stocked twice a day because there's that kind of a need that's in this community. And we know there's a lot of bicyclers, kids that come up here and see what kind of sweet things are in the box. But sometimes they take home cereal. And they say to one another, oh good, I can have cereal for breakfast rather than macaroni and cheese. Heard that just this past week. So Wayne and Karen Sunday, it's Wayne who grows coleus plants. They're kind of the colored plants out front as you come in. That's from kind of Wayne Sunday that grows those things. And he started too early this year because they were like really big. And then they got froze. And then, but they're coming back well. But those are out there because of people who care about Harbor of Joy and are part of the church here. So there's many more of you out there, and we'll probably have names again for some of you. And I want to put in there, there's somebody here in this church who used to be a Gandhi dancer. Who was that person? You don't even know what a Gandhi dancer is, do you? I didn't either. And looking over the crowd, I do not see the person here today, but maybe that person will be here next week. And we can just flock around him. Give his autograph. Oh, it's a him. I would think it would be a woman, but it's a him. Gandhi dancer. So you can also got in the bulletin a little flyer like this. Something you can put on your refrigerator with a magnet just to kind of help keep in mind if you want to what you can bring to help in the blessing box as time goes on. So those are some of the things that are in your bulletin here today. And I just want to have a word of prayer with you before we carry on with the rest of our service this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for everyone that is here today, even though it's the 4th of July that brings a lot of people together, a lot of friends, family. It's a real joyous time, and it's a time to get the grill out and to do a lot of barbecuing and watermelon and hot dogs. Oh, hot dogs. They're the best. So maybe a hamburger as well, but a lot of people won't even touch a hot dog, but I love them. Even if it's scraps swept up on the floor in a packing place and they make it into hot dogs, I don't care. It tastes good. And so, Lord, we're grateful for everyone that is here today. May you use this time as we celebrate our country's independence. And just like the song we sang earlier, Lord, where it says that, you know, America is not a perfect country. You know, we pray that you would help us with all the flaws that this country has and continues to have and puts up with along the way. We do need your grace. And we have come together as a country by your grace. There's no other reason for us to be who we are. And yet, we're still not a perfect country by any means, but you have used United States of America many, many times throughout the years. We pray that will continue to be so in the years ahead as well. And so we just thank you for the freedoms we have here. It's none like any other place that we could ever go to. And Lord, I've been outside of this country for 3 years, and I see what it's like to live in other countries. And there's nothing like America. And I'm just thankful that of all the places where I could have been born, it was here in this country. And so not everyone here probably today can say that, but we have a lot to be thankful for. So Lord, may we come under your word today and the songs that are used a way of reaching and speaking to our hearts today, no matter where we've come from. May we spend time with you today and know that we've had time with you. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a song that we have not sung yet because I don't have the words to it, but I'm going to invite you to stand because it is our national anthem. And I think it starts out as, "Oh, say, can you see?" Or, Sunday of the month. And so here's a brief order for the confession and forgiveness that we are here to do here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open. Did you hear that? All hearts are open. God knows what's in your heart right now, what you've been thinking. All desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. That's true. God knows everything about you and me. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you. Can we perfectly love God? Jesus, we can. worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take some time and just personal reflection and self-examination as we just go to the Lord one-on-one here this morning in silence, and you can talk to Him, whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind at this time. Lord, this is not just a routine that we do. It's very important. It's important to just say to you what is on our hearts here today. Where we have failed you, where we have failed one another, forgive us. Where we've made a mess in our lives, clean us up and give to us what we need to walk with you stronger than the way that we are. So, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty
God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, that we may have forgiveness for our sins. the platform. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. I'm aware of the time today. And yes, I know there's communion. It takes longer to do communion, especially with this many people here. So we hope that none of you come forward today so we can get out of here quicker. It's completely up to you. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, one verse, verse 42. Never preached on this, and afterwards, someone may say, well, take your advice, Pastor, never preach on that one again. Give me that kind of a text here today. But it says this, Jesus is speaking, he's talking to his 12 disciples, and this is the last thing he says to them before he sends them out in the Sea of Galilee area. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that oftentimes in life we look for big things to bless us with or to be a blessing to. But here we find something that's very small, very insignificant, that is still important to you. May that be the case even for every one of us that is here today, that when we leave, we will just sense like, you know, wow, I've never thought of that before. So use your words here today, like you've used everything else that we've done up to this point. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. We're looking at Matthew's account. He says that the disciples are to go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Those are the Jews. Not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, just to the Jews. That's their kind of people. It'd be just like for you to go to whatever your nationality is. You go to those kinds of people or where you live. Those are your kinds of people. And you're to give them a message. And the message is that the time of God coming, his kingdom is near. And that message is, are you ready to meet him? We need to repent. We need to turn back to God if we are walking away from him today. Well, that's the message that really Jesus is giving to his disciples as they go out. But he's given them also his authority where they can do a lot of amazing things. Amazing things. You can read about that in chapter 10 of Matthew. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What would it be like for you to talk to someone in your immediate family that you are following Jesus now? Your immediate family. How would that go? Or is that something that would just make the hair on your arms stand up? Or give you the heebie-jeebies. I don't want to tell anyone in my family that I'm following Jesus. Have you ever been convicted of your sins and asked God to forgive you and are now living your life the way that God wants you to? And you just want to share that with your immediate family. How would it go? For some of you, it'll be going like, no problem. Already done that. Some of you are saying, like, I thought of it, but I've never done it. But if you got family together with you this 4th of July, this would be a good time to do it. Just tell them that you have a faith in Christ. And you want to live for him. There is nothing too little or too small when it is given to someone because of who you are in Jesus Christ. So I want you to ponder just this thought this morning. A cup of cold water. I don't know what time during the night last night I go like, why does Jesus say cold? Why didn't he just say water? But he puts in a temperature. Cold water. You know, they did not have refrigerators back in the day that Jesus taught this. They did not have ice. But he says to them, a cup of cold water. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. I like the word in that verse where it says anyone. It means that any one of us can do this. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go anywhere to get educated to do something like this. You can do this any day, any time of the week to someone. As long as it's done with a loving heart and with humility. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, Jesus says this. In Mark's account, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. God knows and God sees and will reward your action. It's best understood that God will give his approval for you to do this. It's a way of showing who you are in Christ. Many years ago, there was a church that I was involved in that had what was known as a cup of cold water. Never heard of that before. It was a way in which anyone in the church could give anonymously to someone in the church and never know who did it. You just gave it to the cup of cold water and put the name of who you want that check to go towards. Or if it's something in the church that you knew about the church could use or need, you would sign your name to that. And only the treasurer would know who gave it. But the person would never, ever know who did. They just said it came from the cup of cold water. I'm wondering who that could have been. It's not to know who did it. You just say that God knew and brought this into your life to bless you through someone else. It was a great way to give and to receive because it humbled you. I grew up in a family that always said, well, you know, you just do things because that's what you do. You never expect anything in return. And they had one guy who said, I did some summer fouling for him on a four-wheel tractor. I never drove a four-wheel tractor in my life. And they did some summer fouling for him, and he wanted to pay me for it. I said, nah, I just love to do this. He says, Tim, well, yeah, don't deny me my blessing. I go, what do you mean? I want to give to you for helping me out with my field work. Please take this. And I had a hard time doing that. I just wasn't brought up that way. So I took the money, and I go like, it was my first lesson on, you know, if you don't receive what people want to give to you, you do deny them the blessing that God wants to give to them. The interesting thing is that it wasn't much longer after that I went to what was called an intermission meeting up in the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota, and they took an offering, and I'm going like, oh no. They're taking an offering, and what I've got in my wallet is the money that this guy gave me for doing his field work. And I felt the pressure and the tension. I go, like, I can just pass the plate and say I don't have anything, but that would be lying. And so I gave all that this guy gave me for my wallet, and I put it in the offering with a little bit of, like, I shouldn't have come. But what happened after that was, I said it was well worth giving. Because I saw God's blessings in ways I would never have seen otherwise. That was kind of my first lesson on giving. Through this man and through giving it an offering. Aren't you glad we don't pass the plates here? Well, maybe some of you would like that. You missed that. I always think it's always better to give because you want to give, not because you have to. And if the offering plate puts guilt on you, you know, it's not there to do that. It's there just to say, if you want to give, you can. If you can't, you can. God knows, he understands. So this cup of cold water goes along with the ladies' high tea that you're going to be having here in a week or so. A cup is only 8 ounces. 8 ounces of love or care can go a long ways when it's done right. It brings hope, it can bring refreshment to needy people. And at the time that Jesus says this, remember that Christianity is not looked upon as something good going on within the land. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ was being persecuted. And if they would go to some town, some place, and if they're being persecuted, they would find a place that would welcome them in. And they'd hear these words, is there anything I can get you? Do you want something to drink? How many times have you said that to someone who's come to your place? Can I get you anything? Can I get you something to drink? The gift of hospitality is like that, and a lot of times those that went on the road to share the good news of Jesus Christ would come to some place, and what a refreshing thing it was to come to a door or to meet a person that says, why don't you come and stay with us? That was like a cup of cold water. Something that would refresh you, something that you look forward to, you'd go like, man, thank you, Lord, for this person, for receiving me into their house. What's unusual here with this whole idea that Jesus gives to his disciples, a cup of cold water, they're Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. And this is a way that they then in turn will help another Jew to receive by what they give to them. They want to do this. In order to get something cold, like cold water, during this time, you'd have to go to a deep well where the water is cool. And to fetch it and to get it out of there, to give it to the person, to treat them special. There was no ice. There was no refrigerator, like I said before. Growing up on the farm, we had a milk jug that was filled with water, put in the truck or the pickup, and when we got thirsty, we would stop what we're doing, and we'd go and chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. And guess what the water was like? It was warm. It was not refreshing. But you drank it anyway because that's all you had. And you're far away from home. You couldn't get something cold. Reminds us of what Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. No, that's not, we stand at the door or not. But before that, Jesus talks about spiritually, he'd rather that you be cold or hot. But if you're spiritually warm, He'll spit you out of his mouth. And there's been times of taking that jug of water and trying to chug it, you just kind of rinse out your mouth and spit it out because it was warm. Understand that portion of Scripture a whole lot better. Been there, done that. A cup of cold water can change a life. There's something about a cup of cold water that is cold, that it will satisfy your thirst. It will make you feel special from the one who gives it to you, because they went out of their way to do this for you. Water is free. A thirsty person has a need. He or she has a thirst. Only water can satisfy that thirst. You can use other things, but you know there's nothing like water. There's just nothing like water. And salvation is also a gift. It's free. It costs you nothing other than to just believe and trust in what Jesus has done for you. It's free. It cost God greatly. It cost Him His only Son. Who went to the cross and died on the cross for your sins. Jesus ends His instructions to the disciples by saying, talking about reward. Again, I say, we do what we do because of our faith in Jesus Christ, not to get a reward. Not to get something for our efforts. We do it because of who we are. Jesus Christ has changed us within. And we do it because we know that's what He would do. God sees our motive and our heart whenever we give a cup of cold water. It doesn't have to be actual water. It can be giving of something else that will refresh and lift another person up. As soon as I do something for God, in order to get something from Him, that's when it becomes a work. And it's not a gift anymore. If you think you're going to do this to earn some brownie points with God, forget it. God will say, filthy rags. It means nothing to Him. If you want to earn God's favor, to make Him love you more by what you do, then that's called works and not grace. The last I checked in Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. So God notices everything that we do and why we do what we do. It's because of who we are. And God will reward as we give like He does, which is amazing. Helping without expecting anything in return will always bring refreshing and hope when it's done by faith in Christ. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. Monitor before we take communion. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection. our Lord Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed. He talked to his disciples. And he gave thanks to his Father in heaven. And he said to his disciples that, "This is my body which is given for you." His body was broken, as they later came to understand. And Jesus tells them to take and eat this bread. It's his body. Until he comes again. In like manner, he then picked up the cup, gave thanks to his Father, and he said to them, "This is my blood given for you. Drink all of it." They'd never heard this before. Eat his body, drink his blood. But that's what Jesus said. Tells us how terrible sin is and what needs to be done in order for sin to be forgiven. For Jesus to lay his life down for us. And we're to do this until he comes again. Before I ask these servers to come this morning, just want to say a little something about communion. If it's, you know, some of you, it's your first time here. There's two stations. One down here, you can come and receive the Lord's body and blood and put your cup in the basket. There might be someone holding that. Or you can come up to the front and kneel. If you can't kneel, you can still stand up there if you want, and you can stay there as long as you want. You'll receive the body and the blood of Christ as well. You can stay as long as you want there. So you got two things going on at the same time, and then you go back and sit down from where you're sitting. Our tradition as a Lutheran church is that we always want kids to go through confirmation, because we study what communion is all about. It's one of the sacraments that there is a judgment that goes with it. You can take it in an unworthy way. And it's not a fun thing that you receive from God. It's not a blessing. It's a judgment. You find in Corinthians. But if your kids want to come up, you probably cannot have the sacrament or the wafer or the wine or the grape juice, but you get a blessing from the ones who are serving. And that's okay too. We want you to come. But that's kind of what you'll find that's happened. If you do not want wine, just hold your hand straight to the server, and that means you want grape juice. There is some grape juice for those that want that. As well. So, anything else I forgot? If not, I'll ask the ones who have been asked to come to help serve. I need two kids. I'm just wondering if Lydia, Eleanor, come on up here. I'll tell you what to do, but you can't talk to anybody. Okay? Okay. Who would like to hold this basket? Okay, you hold that one. I need someone to come up here to hold this basket. Okay? And I'll tell you what to do. Just stand up here. And you just follow me around, okay? So wherever I go, you go. There you go. You don't have to do that now. Yeah, we're going to disinfect our hands here.
Also, during communion, we will sing a few hymns.
names. It'll be on the monitor for you.
Yeah.
Did we forget anybody? Somebody wanted to have communion but could not make it up here. We want to just make sure we served everybody who wanted to be served. Seeing no hands, I think we're okay. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all.
Please stand.